If you'd like to turn with me to Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that it's on. Yeah. But by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So let's pray and ask the Lord for help. Lord, we thank You that You indeed are the Good Shepherd. Father, we thank You that You are the Shepherd of our souls, Lord. That we are the sheep of Your pasture. Lord, that You've given us, Lord, green pastures to lie down in. Quiet waters to drink from. Lord, You even protect us with Your rod and staff. And You anoint us with oil, Lord. Father, we indeed are Your sheep if we have trusted in the Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we ask that, Father, that You would help us this morning to understand more fully what it means to be a sheep in Your flock. Father, that we may lie down with You, walk with You, and dwell with You forever. Lord, we pray these things in Your Son's name. Amen. David is the author of this beautiful poem, a section of Scripture that is dear to our hearts. And we're thankful for that. When we think about the Lord and His grace in giving us this beautiful psalm, and we think about David as a shepherd, we gain insights into what it means to be shepherded of the Lord. And David, no doubt, was a good shepherd. If we recall, as we read through the Old Testament, that David was oftentimes shepherding his flock. As a matter of fact, David would minister to the king, Saul. And the Scripture teaches us that he would go back and forth from Saul to shepherd his flock. And he'd minister to Saul, and then he would go back and he would shepherd his flock. Even before David was anointed to be king, if you remember, Samuel came to David's house and he looked through all of David's brothers, all of these mighty men that were in the Lord's army. Samuel looks through all of them and he says, no, the Lord has not anointed any of these to be king. Is there another? Well, wouldn't you know it, David was their youngest brother, but David was off with the flock. David was in the high country. He was shepherding the flock, and they had to call him away from the flock. Imagine that. To come, and he was the one that would be anointed king. But not only that, but when David, we remember the story of David and Goliath, that manslayer, that champion of the Philistines, the warrior who defied the armies of the living God. We remember that David killed that giant. But before he even went into bring supplies to his brothers, and that's all that was supposed to happen that day, was he was just going to bring supplies to his brothers, and his father Jesse was preparing him to go do that. The Bible says that David rose early that morning and left his flock with a keeper. You see, David was a shepherd. And a shepherd is a job that takes tremendous responsibility. To shepherd a flock is a 24/7 job. It's not one that can be taken lightly. It's interesting that David became king. David was a shepherd, and David writes this psalm. In verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You see, David was a shepherd, but now David is the sheep in the flock of God. And he says that God, the Lord, is my shepherd. And so I want to glean from these six verses of Scripture. And I want to learn from David as he speaks of himself as a sheep in God's flock. And I want to encourage you this morning to think about what it means to be in the flock of God. And I'd like to pull away three assurances and three blessings of being shepherded of the Lord this morning. And the first is this: because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. I shall not be in want. David describes that the Lord is his shepherd, that the Lord God is the shepherd. And because of this, there is nothing that he would need as a sheep. You see, the countenance on the appearance of the sheep and the way that the sheep were cared for was the glory of the shepherd. And many sheep are very poorly taken care of. And they have many, many needs. The sheep are very interesting animals. And as I was studying this week and just preparing to teach this morning, I began to realize how little I really understood about shepherds and sheep. And so I had to do a lot of research on it this week. And I remember that I had this book, and I was excited when I found it this week. I just kind of stumbled across it. Philip Keller. And it's this book, he says it's a shepherd's look at Psalm 23. You know, he is a shepherd himself. He owned many sheep. And so he began to describe this animal that we call sheep. In verse 2, he says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." And I come to realize that it was a very rare thing for sheep to be able to lie down. As a matter of fact, Philip talked about four crucial criteria that had to be met in the sheep's life before he could just lie down. One, he had to be free from all fear. The second thing is that he had to be free from fiction or tension. Thirdly, free from torment or aggravation. And finally, free from the pains of hunger or not knowing whether or not he would eat. You see, the sheep is an animal that has little to no defense at all against predator. The sheep is completely dependent upon the shepherd to care and protect him. You know, his best defense is that he just runs, but he's not entirely the fastest of all animals, so he really can't use that as much as of a defense. He just scatters. Philip talked about he had a guest come by the house at one point, and 200 of his sheep were lying in this beautiful green pasture, and this little dog jumps out of the car. They see this tiny dog, and all 200 of them got up and shot off and ran away. The sheep had to be free from all fear in order to lie down in the green pasture. But not only this, but interesting thing about sheep, much like hens, you know, you have this pecking order in the pen. Sheep have what's called a budding order. Okay? Sheep tend to be kind of cruel to one another. And sometimes you'll get an older sheep, a fat ewe that kind of, you know, will stare down other sheep and kind of, you know, get this stance about itself and look at the sheep as if to say, you know, you're in my way, get out of my way. That's my spot. You know, maybe some of you this morning, you know, were sitting here and somebody said, hey, you're in my seat. And you were butted out. Well, the sheeps would have a lot of tension. And when this took place, they were restless and agitated with one another, and they could not lie down. Not only that, but in certain times of the year, especially in the summer months, there were different pests that could disturb the sheep, aggravate and torment the sheep. One of them is called the nose fly. And this was in East Africa. This nose fly would look to lay eggs in that moist flesh of the sheep's snout. And if it was successful to lay eggs there, it would turn into larvae, and it climbs up into the nasal cavity, and it produces this intense swelling and torment, such agitation that sheep have even been known to end their own life, beating their heads on rocks and trees to find relief from this torment. Different parasites can get into the bowels of the sheep and cause discomfort. And there's this disease on the sheep's skin called scab that would run rampant throughout the sheep fold because sheep tend to buck up against one another and it spreads rampantly. And so this torment and aggravation in their flesh would prevent them from lying down. Finally, I think the most restless of all is if a sheep doesn't know he's going to be able to feed, that there's good food to eat. And so if the sheep has any concern that he's not going to be able to eat, he won't lie down. And look at verse 2. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, this is interesting. Because the sheep is basically defenseless of any of these torments to remedy them in and of himself. But the shepherd will remedy all four of these criteria in order for him to get rest. You see, just the mere presence of the shepherd alone amongst them gives them strength. If you look down, if you peek down for just a moment to verse 4, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, the shepherd had equipment that the sheep knew he was going to protect them. He would be with them. And so any predator that they may lie prey to, they felt confidence when they were around the shepherd. And they were able to rest in his presence. But not only that, but the tension of the budding order within the flock was instantly remedied when the shepherd walks out among them. That they just had a sense of peace and calm in the presence of the shepherd, and they began to forget about what was so important to them. that they had to bully one another. And the shepherd also would bring discipline on that ewe that was bullying others. And Philip said many times he had to trounce that bullying sheep. The torment we see here as we look at those different pests that would plague the sheep and the skin condition, that disease that would get on their skin. If we look down to verse 5, "You've anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows." You see, shepherds would get linseed or olive oil and sulfur and sometimes a tar substance, and they would work this together and they would rub it upon the nose and the face of the sheep and work it into their skin. You see, the sheep would have to pass under the rod of the shepherd, that he would examine each of the sheep, and it would bring such comfort to them. And any pest or any skin condition would be remedied, you see, because the shepherd loved the sheep and he was particular in his love for each one of the sheep, that he would look them over. Ezekiel talks about having to pass under the rod of God. And this, in many ways, is this sense in which the shepherd would examine each one of the sheep. And the sheep would be able to lie down and rest. But not only that, but only the shepherd could cause them to rest in knowing that they had food to eat and plenty of it. You see, he says that he makes me lie down in green pastures. Philip Keller talked about a landowner that owned land next to his, and it was appalling to him what a wicked and terrible job this owner of these sheep did with the sheep. He said that they were frail. They were diseased. Even the water that they would drink was contaminated and polluted by the manure of their hoofs. He said that there wasn't much food for them to eat. And he says he'll never forget looking at that other pasture and seeing the sheep at the fence staring into his plush fields, as if they were envying his sheep. He says on a few occasions, some of those sheep would break through the fence and climb under the fence, and they would go and begin to eat in his pastures. But the problem was is that their stomachs weren't prepared to eat that lush, delicious meal. And many of them would get so bloated up, they would die. He says on one occasion, he found three of his neighbor's sheep lying under a tree, and he brought them back to the shepherd and the owner of those sheep, and he got the killing knife and put them down in a very heartless way. You see, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. That He causes me to lie down in green pastures. That He takes care of all of my needs. And it reminds me of Peter when he says that we've been given everything pertaining to life and godliness through God. That He knows everything that we need in order to live a life that would honor Him and live a life that is free from fear and torment and worry and anguish and suffering and sorrow. And I think of how He has taken us from the fold of this world, from some of the other sheep that butt us and bully us. And we were, no doubt, bullies ourselves at one time. Envious, hateful, hating one another. But we have been brought in through His Son to His fold. When we look at verse 3, he says that he restores my soul. And this is a very interesting thing for David to say, because if you remember David spoke of how his soul was downcast. Why are you downcast, O my soul? David many times was downcast. And I learned that a cast sheep is a very serious thing. To be a cast down sheep or a downcast sheep, that's a old English term that meant that the sheep would actually roll over onto his back and his feet would be straight up in the air and he's stuck there and he can't roll back over. And as hilarious as that picture may seem in your mind, I see some of you laughing as I'm talking about it. If the shepherd saw that, it was a very serious matter. Because you see, if a sheep was cast and laying on his back and his feet were stuck in the air, if he's there long enough, if the day was hot and dry, he could die within a few hours. Oftentimes it was the ewe lamb that was carrying, that would be plump enough to roll over and not be able to roll back. And what happens with inside the animal is that these gases begin to build up, and what it actually does is it cuts off circulation. And then they can't even stand. They can't get over onto their feet. And so Philip, as he was talking about being a sheep owner, that he was sensitive to the needs of all of his sheep, and he knew the sheep that would be easily cast, and he would hunt for them. And this is also interesting. I found that when a sheep was cast, don't you know that vultures would begin to fly over them even before they died? And so he would be searching the fields and he would look and he would see vultures and he knew that there was a cast sheep and he would run out there. And he would slowly turn that sheep over to its side and begin to massage its legs. And he says that he would talk to the sheep and comfort the sheep. And he began to work the legs of the sheep so that that circulation would begin to run again and that sheep would be able to walk and eventually give birth. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. That He restores my soul. That He restores my soul. That He puts me on my feet again. How often in our own life, how often in our own walk with the Lord do we find ourselves cast down? Seamlessly paralyzed in our faith. Needing to be restored, needing to be massaged and worked on by the shepherd. That He would minister to us. That He would bring us back to good health. Not only this, but in verse 2, He leads me beside quiet waters. You know, that it was the constant work of the shepherd to know where that clean and cool and pure water was for his sheep to drink. And you see, the sheep depended upon water. And he says that landowner, that wicked landowner that didn't care for his sheep, oftentimes the sheep would walk through the ponds and they would contaminate it and it'd be full of parasites. And they would drink it and they would get sick by it. But you see, not the good shepherd. The good shepherd cares for the needs of his sheep. They were well watered. They were well fed. They were well protected. They could trust the shepherd. Well, not only shall I not be in want if the Lord is my shepherd, but secondly, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall walk with Him. Look at verse 3. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You see, one of the dangers of the sheep was their own habit, basically. They were creatures of habit. And they would just kind of stay in one place. And they would constantly go in the same route. And they would form these ruts. And they would contaminate, as I said, the water source. And they would eat and eat and eat and eat of the pasture, so much so that they would destroy the root system. And so if a flock of sheep stayed in one place too long, it was just absolutely desecrating to the land, ruin a land, to where nothing could grow. The water was no good. But what do we see here? That He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That the shepherd's job was not to allow the sheep to stay comfortable too long, but to constantly be moving them. And that He would move them to different pastures to feed. And He would bring them to clean water sources to drink. And in doing so, the beauty in all of this is that the sheep actually became wonderful for the land. So much so that the manure of the sheep is said to be some of the richest and best manure of all. And that it would cause the fields to grow and flourish. And it was a blessing. But you see, the sheep had to walk with the shepherd. And they had to be guided by him. And you see, we have to walk with our shepherd, don't we? The Lord is my shepherd. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And as I mentioned, the well-being of the sheep was to the glory of the shepherd. And this is an interesting thing. You know, I'm not a sheep owner, but I'm a pet owner. And I have a boxer. And I love that dog. My kids enjoy him, especially my littlest one. She calls him Strider Pants. Yesterday morning, she just called him Pants. So she must have this little nickname with him. But I'm always reminded that every time I grab the chain, the leash, to take him for a walk, all he has to do is hear that leash. And he is just up and excited, and he's just so excited, and he comes over by me, and boxers, you know, they have that tail cropped, so you know they can't wag a tail, so they wiggle. Their whole body just kind of wiggles all over the place, and they're so excited because, you know, they're going to go for a walk. And I put that, you know, collar on him, and I take him out, and he just prances alongside me. He loves it. You see, our shepherd walks with us. And this should be the attitude as David is writing this. He's writing this from the perspective of the sheep. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, my dog doesn't say, oh, I'm afraid he's going to take me somewhere and it's going to be too dangerous. I'm going to get hurt. I'm not going. You know, when he hears that leash, he doesn't run and hide. But He trusts me. And I walk Him. I remember one time my dog, he's smart, but he has pica, basically. He eats anything and everything. That's kind of like a sheep as well. You see, my dog ate cement one time. Ate cement. And he got it caught in his digestive tract. You know? And so, you know, he was lying under a bush in my backyard. And he's panting. I found him there. And, you know, his stomach was all encaved. And, you know, he's got this thick slobber coming out of his mouth. He looked like death healed over. And I'm like, oh, man, what did he get into now? And what did he get into? And, you know, we're trying to feed, and the bad thing is with the boxer, if you go to feed him and he doesn't eat, you know something's wrong. And so we end up, and it never happens, it's always on a weekend, so we always got to take him to the emergency clinic. And he's like, kids always get sick on the weekend, it's never during the week. So anyway, we take him to the emergency clinic, and they, oh man, you know, his whole gut is filled with cement. And I'm like, you know, and the kids are all upset. And so, you know, what do we do? And so they put him on IV fluid. You know, they gave him this big, you know, bag of IV fluid. And it's like in his back. And so he had this big hump of what looked like, you know, water on his back. And it's supposed to kind of diffuse into the... into his bloodstream, and you know, hopefully what'll happen, he said, maybe he'll pass it, you know. But if not, you know, we'd have to open him up and, you know, spend all this money in this surgery. And I said, well, you know, let's just see, you know. So I brought him home, and I literally walked him for probably 50 miles in the next 3 days. I just walked him and walked him and walked him and walked him around the block. And the neighbors were coming out and saying, "Oh, is he okay?" And you know, by the end of the 3 days, they knew him by name, and you know, basically I was walking him so that he would pass it. And by God's grace, he passed it. Well, I say this to say that our shepherd leads us and he guides us, and we walk with him because he loves us. And he takes us places and he leads us places and he cares for us because we need to go with him. Because we eat just about anything and everything. And he needs to prepare that way for us. If we look down to verse 4, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, this is a distinct shift in the psalm. So in the last three verses, we notice here that he begins to speak in the first person. And there's more of an intimate dialogue between the sheep and the shepherd. I and you and your. And he's talking to the shepherd in this very intimate way. He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me." And it's interesting because this marks a different time of the year for the sheep and the shepherd. And I didn't know this. Maybe some of you knew this. That the shepherd would actually take the sheep on a journey to the high country for the summer range. In the mountain meadows. And they would climb up the mountainside with the sheep. And he would have to do this in the beginning of summer. And they would stay up there until midway through the fall season, until the snow began to come, and then they would have to move back down. But this was a very interesting time because this was the most intimate time with the shepherd. This was the time of the year where the shepherd was continually with them and lived with them and stayed with them. "And because the Lord is my shepherd, that I would walk with him." But you see, it was the fortunate sheep that got to go on this journey. Of course, his neighboring sheep never went on that journey. They never knew what it was to be in the high country with the shepherd. But you notice here that he talks about the way in which the shepherd takes them is through the valley of the shadow, or the valley of the shadow of death. When you think about this, it's interesting because, you know, far before they take that journey, even before the ice and the snow are fully melted by the summer or the spring sun, that the shepherd had gone on that journey before the sheep. That the shepherd never takes the sheep somewhere that he didn't already journey through. And he prepared that way for them. So much so that he would prepare the base camps for them. so that it would be places where He knew they would be able to feed, and He knew where the water was, and He knew of the dangers. And literally, the valleys were very dangerous places. Because, you know, the sun would only shine on those valleys for just a couple hours of the day, maybe noon to midday. And it was very treacherous terrain. And sometimes in our own lives, we find ourselves moving through the valley of the shadows, the valley of the shadow of death. And we ask ourselves, why are You taking me this way, Lord? You know what He would say to that is that because it was the gentlest grade I could take you to get to the high country. That was the gentlest grade. And not only this, but interestingly enough, that the pathway through the valley to the mountain meadows, that summer range, the high country, was the most well-watered way. That this was the most frequented, most clean and pure water, running water. And even though they were going through those difficult trials, even though they were going through the valley of the shadows, where many predators would lurk, they were often drinking the best water. And not only that, but in these valleys that they would travel through, it had the best forage and the richest feed. And so they were eating nutrient-rich food. But you know why? Because you see, the shepherd prepared the table for them. He prepared it. You see, far before He ever took them on that journey through those difficult valleys, He would make that journey Himself with different minerals and salt, and He would make sure that He dispersed them in the places where they would feed. And He would prepare the land. And not only this, but He would have to also survey the land, because remember, sheep just eat everything, just kind of like my dog Strider. And there were poisonous plants. One was this white camas He talked about. There was a blue and a white flower, and the blue flowers were beautiful, but the white flowers were detrimental and dangerous. And if the sheep would take a bite of that white flower, it wasn't long where they become paralyzed and stiff as wood, He said, and they would die because those toxins would fill their system. And you see, the shepherd would go ahead of them, and He knew exactly where He was going to lead them to feed. And so He made sure it was nutrient rich. He made sure that they had water that was clean, and He also made sure that He cleared the way of any of those dangerous plants so that when they ate, they were in no danger at all. You see, but for the sheep, they just had to trust the shepherd. And so as we walk through the valleys of our own life, in those difficult places where the Lord is guiding you through these valleys of the shadow of death, notice, it's not a place to stop, is it? It isn't the place to die, but it's the place to walk with the shepherd. That we keep walking through those valleys. And you see, He says we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, knowing that our shepherd has gone before, and He prepares the way for us. Not only this, but look what it says in verse 4. I fear no evil, not because there isn't evil there, but because Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You know, in the Middle East, the only two tools or necessities of the shepherd was the rod and the staff. And you see, the rod was an interesting piece of equipment. They would, young shepherd boys who were being trained in their shepherding would go and find a young sapling and pull it up by its root. And at the base of the root was the thickest part. And they would have to fashion and shape it so that the end of it would form fit to their hand. And the very, you know, the other end of it was this heavy piece of solid wood. And you see, this was the way in which the shepherd would protect the sheep. And Philip used to marvel over how accurate and swift they were with these rods. They would go whistling through the air and they could hit something on just on point. And this was the way that the shepherd would protect the sheep. And he would do it because he loved the sheep. And no doubt in those valleys that we travel through, we're following the shepherd because he loves us. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to glean in that beautiful place with the richest feed, that intimate time with him where we're with him always and he's with us and he causes us to grow. But no doubt those valleys are dangerous places. But those aren't the times in our life where we should run away from the shepherd. You see, if a sheep were to get lost during that time, predators lurk and they easily would pounce on a sheep and tear him to pieces. Not only this, but there are sharp grades and cliffs where he could fall. And if they get too far away from the shepherd and away from where the shepherd had prepared for them to eat, they could eat that poisonous white Kamas. You see, there's many temptations when we're in the valley to let up, to stop moving with the shepherd, to stop walking with the shepherd, not to be protected by the shepherd. But you see, their comfort was knowing that the shepherd was with them and that his rod and his staff, that was a comfort to them. You see, if they were getting too close to the edge, it was just a little knock with that staff in his hand, the other tool or instrument of equipment that he would use. It would bring them back into line. You see, our shepherd has equipment that helps us, doesn't he? He gives us his word. His word that leads us. His word that is a light and a lamp to our feet. The very word of God, David said, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Imagine that the word of God is like the rod. And that's why we fear no evil. Because we lay hold of the promises of God that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because God is with us, our shepherd. And his rod will protect me. I have to go back to his word over and over and over again. You see, his word is sharp. Sharp as a double-edged sword. And it pierces right to the heart of my intentions and my thoughts. And I have to take my thoughts captive to the word of God. And my mind needs to be renewed by the word of God. For you see, in the valley of the shadow of death, I may stop to pick the roses and be overcome by a predator. Not only this, but you see here in verse 5 that he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And this is a beautiful thing because you see, the Lord prepares that high meadow for me. That indeed, that mesa that is in the top of the mountain, that place where he ultimately is taking me to, it looks like a table. It's known in many of the most prominent areas where sheep and shepherds live. They call that top highest part of the mountain meadow, the mesa or the table. You see, few sheep get to travel to the mesa. Few sheep get to travel with the shepherd through the valleys, protected by them, to that place where they eat with the Lord. But you see, David says that you've prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Because the Lord is my shepherd, we need to walk with Him. Whether it's on a nice stroll around the block or whether it's through the valley of the shadow of death, we need to keep walking with Him and keep Him in plain sight. Well, not only shall I not be in want and shall I walk with the shepherd, but because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall dwell with Him. I shall dwell with Him. And this is the sweet part, I believe, of this psalm. If we look down to verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore. When we think about this journey to the top of the mountain, we think that the Lord also takes them back home. And they journey back down, and they come to that place where it is much less dangerous. Goodness, loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Look at the future of the sheep. You see, the sheep, because the Lord is his shepherd, looks at tomorrow and he looks down years from now and he says, surely goodness and mercy, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is your outlook on tomorrow? When you think of the years to come, are you comforted by the shepherd? Do you know this shepherd? Is he your shepherd? You see, loving kindness was a beautiful word in the Old Testament. It meant a love of choice, a covenant love. You know, that's the love that I put on to my wife when I married her, that I chose to put my love upon her. Irrespective of response, or irrespective of rejection, or irrespective of what I'm wanting to gain from her, choosing to place His love upon us, this covenant love, and He does it in a beautiful and amazing way. You see, if you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34, starting in verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams, and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down on good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. The Lord knows who His sheep are. And the Lord goes after His sheep. And the Lord brings them from the fold into His flock. You see, if you look down to verse 23, he continues, then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and eliminate harmful beasts from the land so that they may live surely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. You see, this couldn't be talking about David who wrote this psalm. David had already died. But this is talking about another David that would come. The son of David, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, namely the Good Shepherd who would come. And you see, he would bring all of the sheep into one flock. And as I read these verses, I'm reminded of John chapter 10, verse 11, where Jesus is speaking to these poor shepherds of Israel that didn't take care of the sheep, didn't love the sheep, didn't protect the sheep, didn't feed the sheep. Verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." You see, Jesus is the good shepherd, isn't he? The good shepherd that made a way for us to be in the flock of God. You see, and he did this because of his great love for us. That much like David, who was a shepherd but also a sheep. You see, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is the shepherd but also the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. See, in John chapter 14, and we'll close here, Jesus is speaking, and he says that, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." See, there is our shepherd. And he is in the high country of God. And he has gone ahead. And he'll never take us anywhere that he has not already gone. And he goes to prepare a place for us. A table for us that we would eat with him and lie down in those mountain meadows, the glory of the kingdom of God. You see, and we do this by faith in him. We do this because we recognize that we, like Pastor Matt said, are all like sheep who've gone astray. But we need to return to the shepherd of our souls. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you indeed are the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And you did not spare anything. To be a sheep in your flock means that, Father, we are free from fear, free from friction and torment and hunger. Lord, we have the everlasting shepherd. And we are his sheep. And we flourish. And it is to your glory, O God, our shepherd. Father, I pray that you would just help us this morning. Help us, Lord, to walk with you through those valleys. Help us, Lord, to know that we need nothing, Lord, apart from you. And help us, Lord, that we would continue to walk with you so that we may dwell with you forever. Holding tightly to the work of Christ and trusting, Lord, in the shepherd who is also the Lamb of God who laid down his life to save us all. Pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen. And we're going to close with How Deep the Father's Love for Us. So if you'd like to stand and join together as we sing.
Thank you, buddy.